Good morning, everyone. Wow, I think we've already had a great service. Man, that was awesome. Boy, praising the Lord with our hymns and being led in worship with the children. I might as well just sit down now. Is that okay? And you guys can just kind of... That's all right. Well, some of us are a little... extroverted, some are more introverted, some of us are in the spotlight, some of us prefer to be behind the scenes. I wonder if I was to ask you, do you kind of prefer to be behind the scenes? Do your work, you don't have to be up front, just kind of slip your hand up and down real quick. You're behind the scenes type of person. Yeah, a lot of folks like that, right? Okay, I didn't figure I'd get a lot from the choir, but anyway... I was thinking about this a little bit, and I want to show you a couple examples of behind-the-scenes folks that help make the people in front of them shine. So first we've got our favorite, Walt Disney, right? But did you know that when Walt first started, he had a group of nine very gifted animators? They were actually called the Nine Old Men. And the top of those animators was a guy by the name of Frank Thomas. You might not know his name, you might not know his face, but you certainly know the characters that he created with that classic Disney feel, like the Seven Dwarfs and Pinocchio and Bambi and Captain Hook. Another example, you might recognize these four young guys from Britain. You probably grew up with a lot of their music. The Beatles, arguably one of the greatest bands ever. But did you know there was someone behind them helping to make that music? His name was George Martin. Matter of fact, he had a nickname called the Fifth Beatle. He was actually a classically trained musician and producer. And he was behind every album that the Beatles ever released. Staying with our music theme, you're probably familiar with this colorful guy. Elton John, all right? Pretty good singer, all his melodies. But did you know that Elton John never wrote one of his own lyrics? No. He had a partner by the name of Bernie Taupin. Mr. Taupin actually wrote all of the lyrics to any Elton John song you've ever heard. So he's just kind of behind the scenes. Another example, you're familiar with this guy. His name is Steve Jobs. Of course, co-founder, salesman, entrepreneur extraordinaire of Apple. But did you know that he wasn't really a computer guy? Not like his partner behind the scenes, Steve Wozniak. That's a picture of them when they were younger. Actually, Steve Wozniak, the guy behind the scenes, was the one with the computer programming and technician skills. And he's the guy that actually created the first Apple computers. Then finally, there's a guy I hesitate to put on the screen because of the competitive nature here, but you're all familiar with Mr. Tom Brady, quarterback of the New England Patriots. If you've been watching any NFL football this season, you'll know that they've been referring to him as the GOAT. GOAT stands for greatest of all time. Since he's wearing six Super Bowl rings, it's hard to argue with that. But I would say that maybe Tom Brady wouldn't be the quarterback he's become if he didn't have his head coach behind the scenes, Bill Belichick, all the way in his whole career. Well, as I was thinking about this whole theme and thinking about Christmas and the different characters that we celebrate around the Christmas story, of course, there's baby Jesus in the manger. And there's a sweet, loving Mother Mary next to him, nurturing him. And there's the visit of the shepherd and the magi. But there's a guy that kind of gets left out, a guy that doesn't get talked about a whole lot. And he's usually, if you check, he's usually in the back of your manger scene. You know, if there's any room, you put him back there. And, of course, I'm talking about Joseph. Joseph is a guy. I'd like to look at the arrival of Christ this morning. He's not a guy that was up front. He wasn't a guy in the spotlight of our story. You might consider him a supporting cast member. You might even call him an average Joe. But was he? I think there was a lot more to him than that. If you have your blue sheets, you might want to follow along now as we learn a little bit about who Joseph was. Well, first, he was a descendant of King David. The prophecies were that the Messiah, Jesus, would come from the line of King David. And Joseph was a part of those descendants. Secondly, we know that he was a carpenter or a handyman. He He worked with tools. He built things. We also know that he was a father to at least 6 children. If you want to count Jesus, that'd be 17. Why wouldn't you count Jesus? Actually, there's a verse I'd like you to see in Matthew chapter 13 that gives us a little bit of background of who Joseph was. So Jesus came back to his hometown of Nazareth during his ministry, and yet he wasn't accepted because everybody knew him. They had watched Jesus grow up. They knew his family. Notice their reaction. Isn't this the carpenter's son? They're referring to Joseph. Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Where does he come with this notion that he's the Messiah? Or that he can heal people or do miracles? I mean, here's his family right here. We helped raise these kids. Joseph was the father of at least 6, and Jesus 7. I mean, right there he's a hero in my mind. I don't know about you. That's no easy task. We also find that with Joseph, there are no recorded words of Joseph in the scriptures. We know about him, we know what he did, but no recorded words. And finally, we don't see Joseph present at the death and crucifixion of his earthly son, Jesus. The last we hear of Joseph, he and Mary are looking for Joseph in Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. They lost him. They were on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and Jesus had run off. They were looking for him for 3 days. If he was my kid, he'd be in for a pretty big spanking, I tell you. I don't know about you, but they were looking for Jesus. And this is the last recorded incidence that we have of Joseph in Scripture. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked down and there was his mother Mary, and next to her his disciple John. And he said, "Mother, your son." And he looked at John and he said, "John, your mother." Jesus was saying, "Take care of my mother." So obviously Joseph wasn't around. Many folks feel that he had passed away sometime before that period. We don't know when, we don't know how. But we do know that he probably wasn't the most well-educated man. He wasn't a wealthy man. He wasn't necessarily powerful or popular or any of those things that we might consider great. But here's something to think about. The creator of the universe trusted this man to raise his son. This man raised the Son of God. I wonder, in some of the words that Jesus spoke as he traveled and taught people, when he used the analogy of a father, of course he was thinking of his heavenly father, but I wonder too if he was thinking of his earthly father, Joseph, who I bet had a godly impact on him as well. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. If you don't have them, there's some in the racks there. I'm not going to put it on the screen because I want to encourage all of us to get into our Bibles, get into the Word of God. And I'd like to read the passage for you this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It says this. Now this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's talk to God. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this beautiful place where we can come and worship you. God, this morning we focus on an aspect that was so important regarding the birth of your son, and that was his earthly father, Joseph. He has a lot to teach us, Lord. I pray this morning that you would open our hearts and open our minds to learn about a man we don't hear a whole lot about, but who is very important to you and pleased you with his life. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to share with you several lessons from an average Joe. Actually, not too average. And the first is this, that we need to be people of godly character and compassion. That's the kind of man Joseph was. He was a godly man. He's a man of high character, integrity, and compassion. If you'll refer back to your Bibles in Matthew 1, verse 18, tells us that this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Says that his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, as Cindy shared with us last week, in the Jewish culture, to be pledged was more than what we would understand as engagement. It was going to happen. There was a commitment. It was pretty much legal at this time. And yet the couple did not come together sexually. The woman would stay with her family. The man would stay with his family or perhaps on his own, but that was to show a commitment to the relationship and purity during that time. And so you have this young couple. Mary might have been 15 years old or so. A lot of people think Joseph might have been a little older. So they're pledged to be married. Now it says, now there's a comma if you see it here. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, comma. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Now what's going on there? Well, you have to go to Luke's gospel in chapter 1 to get the full story. Now, I might be reading into it a little bit, but Matthew doesn't mention Mary's visit from the angel Gabriel. If you remember, Joseph and Mary had no idea that she would be the chosen one. And one day, the angel comes to Mary and says, you're the favored one of God. Mary, you're going to be able to deliver God's son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Mary, you've won the lottery, okay? You're the one. And she was startled. She was confused. She didn't question. She obeyed, and then I think maybe something happened. I'm not sure what. I'm kind of reading between the lines, but I'm not sure she clued Joseph in to what was going on. I don't know how it is. I'm a guy. You know, when you find out you're pregnant, you're excited. You're not sure what to think, what to do. And it seems to me that that Elizabeth, she had a relative. Mary had a relative named Elizabeth, who was also carrying a child, who also had a miraculous conception in her old age. And she was 6 months along, so Mary packed up and went over to be with her cousin Elizabeth. And it's pretty amazing. Do we have that verse? I can't remember if we do. Yeah. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 56, that Mary stayed with Elizabeth. So she went over a couple of towns and showed up. Hey, cousin, you're pregnant. Hey, guess what? I am too. You know, who's the father? Is it Joseph? No, it's God. Wow. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then she returned home. Now, I'm not sure, you know, Joseph must have just heard, well, yeah, she went to go visit her relative, Elizabeth. That made sense. She was 6 months along. She probably needed help in the last trimester of her pregnancy. Okay. But then Mary returns to Nazareth, and it says, before Joseph and her came together sexually, physically, as husband and wife, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure how this all happened, and I needed a little help. So I asked the ladies who work in the church office to help me out a little bit. I said, ladies, come on in here. And they're standing in my office, and they said, what, are we in trouble? What do we do? Are we going to get fired? No, no. I need some theological advice. They said, okay. I said, how long was it when you guys got pregnant before you were showing? And they were like, pastor, that's inappropriate. What are you talking about? I said, no, really. I need your help. It says that Mary was found to be pregnant, and maybe it was only 3 months or so. Are you showing that? And they go, well, gee, that's kind of tough. You know, Mary was probably wearing a robe. You know, she could have hid it for a long time. Oh, yeah. I wonder how that worked. They said, but she could have been glowing. I said, glowing? What are you talking about? I thought we were talking about showing. Now you're talking about glowing. You know, glowing. When you're pregnant, you just, this is what they said. They said, you know, kind of your cheeks are flushed and you're kind of looking off and you're thinking about that child and you're just happy. And yeah, there might be some sickness, but you know, you're still kind of glowing. I said, okay, so I'm going to share this with the church, showing and glowing. We got it? Yeah, that'll work. Okay, all right. So apparently Mary returns from helping Elizabeth with her pregnancy and birth of John the Baptist. She comes back to Nazareth. Joseph is like, hey, I missed you. How did it go? Whoa. Mary? So you went to your cousin's, huh? Really? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes, okay? He's, he had no knowledge, apparently, of the angel Gabriel's visit. By that time, he trusted Mary to remain pure. He remained pure. He trusted her to be righteous. He was remaining righteous. He was a man of character. And maybe she tried to explain to him, but Joseph, you don't understand. It was from God. It was the Holy Spirit came upon me. And that's why I'm pregnant. Again, Joseph. Really? You know, that would be hard. For him to take in, you know, as far as he's concerned, man, my pledge to be wife has betrayed me. You know, she's been with somebody else. She done me wrong, right? I don't know if you've ever been cheated on. I remember being cheated on by my high school girlfriend, and it wasn't fun. Man, messed with my mind. I was just heart sick. I was physically sick. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I'd come to church. I was dating the minister's daughter. It was really embarrassing. Everybody knew. The youth group knew. I was humiliated. And Joseph is kind of having to think through all this. Man, what am I going to do? You know, he could have divorced her and shamed her publicly. He could have even taken Mary and had her taken outside the gates of Nazareth, kind of thrown in a little pit, and the elders of the town himself could have picked up stones. Picture this, the mother of God, and thrown stones at Mary by the Old Testament law because of her perceived unfaithfulness and had her killed. But Joseph didn't do that. He was a godly man. He was a man of character. I think he genuinely cared for her. But he was also a man of compassion, of understanding, of forgiveness and love. And so it tells us in verse 19 that because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace, look at that, he cared about her. He could have easily, but he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to hurt Mary. He just had in mind to divorce her quietly, out of the eye of the courts and the village. Maybe his plan was to go move to another town or send Mary off with her family. Scripture doesn't tell us. But he was pondering all these things. You know, our culture says that godly character doesn't matter. Character itself doesn't matter. We've seen that all in the news. If you can do the job, that's okay. It doesn't really matter what your character is. It doesn't matter if you really care about people. Just get all you can. Live for number one. Use and abuse people if that's what you're all about. And society will still say, that's cool. That's all right. You still got your job. Still do your thing. Character's not that important. But to God it is. God says character counts, as well as having a loving, compassionate heart. You know, I think of Joseph in this situation. I think of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the kind of guy I think Joseph was. And I ask myself, am I that kind of person? When people hurt me deeply, when people wrong me, am I able to be kind to them? Am I somehow able to dig down deep and be understanding, even forgiving to them? Mary hurt Joseph deeply from the outside. And yet he responded with character and compassion. I think that's a good reminder to all of us. The second lesson we learn from this average Joe is to be a person of godly courage. Now, let me ask you a question. Who do you think of when you think of godly courage? Godly courage. What would that be? You know who I think of? I think of a football player. I think of our own Russell Wilson. Our quarterback. You know, several years ago, I mean, here's a young guy. He's in his early 20s. He gets the starting job here in Seattle with the Seahawks. And within a year or two, they win the Super Bowl. Just amazing. They killed the Broncos. I'm still personally healing over that, but that's okay. I'm a Seahawks fan now. It's all right. But Russell Wilson started dating a celebrity, a singer named Ciara. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And anyway, they were interviewed. And he said, we're going to save ourselves for marriage. You know, we're both devoted and committed Christians. And that was out there. That was all over the internet. And I thought, what an example. When most of the people, all these people in the NFL are having what's called baby mamas. They're just sleeping around, having children, you know, not marrying these women. Yet here's a young man who says, no. I love God. I'm going to follow Jesus. And yes, I'm in a relationship with a young, beautiful woman, but we're going to save ourselves until we're married. I thought that took a lot of courage of him to say that. Then there's a second instance where I saw his godly courage, and that was a couple years later. Sorry to bring this up. But when he threw that interception in the Super Bowl, and they lost the game. And as he was walking off the field, you might think that he's just completely devastated here, or angry at himself, or the coaches who called the play, whatever it might be. Actually, in an interview, he said that when he was walking off the field, the first thought that came to his mind was his God and his faith. And he told himself, Russell, the world is watching you right now to see how you're going to respond. And he didn't go on the sidelines and throw his helmet. He didn't cuss out the receiver who didn't make the catch. He didn't yell at the coach. That was a dumb play. He should have sent Lynch in. No, he didn't do any of that. And when he was interviewed at the end of the game, Russell Wilson took the responsibility for the loss of the Super Bowl. I thought that took a lot of courage. Godly courage. He's a follower of Jesus. Joseph had that godly courage too. He tells us in verse 20 and 21 of Matthew chapter 1. But after Joseph had considered, remember he was thinking about, boy, Mary's condition, She said something about the Holy Spirit, but come on, that's never happened before. Who could believe that? I guess I'll just put her away quietly and I'll move on with my life. After he was considering this, it says in verse 20, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Have courage. Because what is conceived in her, not from another man, she wasn't unfaithful. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from God himself. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Talk about a game changer. At this point, I guess you could say Joseph's got two options. First, he could ignore the angel's message and still put Mary away quietly and let her and God deal with it, since it was, quote, God's son. Or, number two, he could respond in obedience and courage. He could take Mary as his wife and endure the next 6 months of her pregnancy in the eye of the public, in that little village of Nazareth, as she began to grow and grow, and the women would meet at the center well, say, did you see Mary? You know, her and Joseph are only pledged to be married. They haven't consummated yet. It's not time for that yet. And look, she's showing. Oh my. Joseph had a choice. Did he want to go through that and support her through that? And then provide for and raise a child that wasn't his own? Huh. If I were Joseph, I would have been confused. Man, what is going on, God? The woman I loved, the woman that I was pledged to be married to, she shows up pregnant. And now I get this dream, and it's from you, and that's supposed to be okay? The Messiah? The one we've waited for all those years? I'm supposed to raise him? I mean, I can understand Joseph's confusion. Can you? But he responded in obedience and courage. And the cool thing is, even though Joseph might not have been able to see it at the time, God was working behind the scenes. Amen? He was working behind the scenes. Tells us in verse 22 and 23 that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God had been working behind the scenes for 700 years until the time was right for his son to come into the world to save us from our sins. You know, for us, sometimes all we can see are the problems, the circumstances, the challenges that are in front of us, but God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes all we can see are the problems at school or work or at our job, but God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes all we can see is what's in front of us, that illness, that sickness, that diagnosis, but God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes all we can see are those unpaid bills, the difficulty in our finances, the debt, but God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes all we can see is that troubled child or grandchild, but God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes all we can see is that troubled relationship with our husband or our wife, but God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes all we can see is the betrayal of that good friend that we trust, but God is working behind the scenes. I encourage you Put your trust in God. Allow Him to work. Give Him time. Respond with character. Respond with courage. And see what God does behind the scenes. Verse 24 in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph woke up, and look what it says. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. And he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Isn't that great? You know, the more I think about Joseph, I think God chose Joseph to be the earthly father of his son. Not only because of his character and his compassion, but because of his courage. Joseph was a guy that was going to protect Mary and Jesus. Joseph was going to provide for Mary and Jesus. Joseph was going to do whatever God asked him to do. He was going to obey his will. And I think that's why God chose this not so average Joe to be the father, the earthly father of our Savior. His courage would come into play maybe a year or two later, when King Herod of the Jews, the literal king of the Jews at that point, got wind that a new king of the Jews had been born. The Magi, the three wise men, told him. And so he freaked out and got paranoid. And he wanted to go kill the child. And so an angel of the Lord came again and warned Joseph. It tells us in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, when the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Here's our guy, Joseph. So he got up. He took the child and his mother during the night, left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. He didn't delay. He didn't argue about it. He didn't disobey. Joseph was a man of godly courage, character. He grabbed Mary. He grabbed Jesus, who might have been a year too old. And he took the trip over the hot desert sands into Egypt, hundreds of miles away. And he stayed there until he got word to return later after Herod had died. All this was to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Wow. So how about you? How about me? Do you ever think about godly courage? Having the courage to trust God when you're struggling in this life? When someone you love is struggling? When there are unanswered questions? Do you have that kind of courage to get down and say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done"? That kind of confidence? That kind of faith in your Heavenly Father? Joseph was that kind of guy. And you know what? His ancestor, David, gives us encouragement and hope through the words that he wrote in the Psalms. In Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It says in Psalm 31:24, "Be strong and take heart. No matter what's going on in your life, all you who hope in the Lord." Joseph did that. It's a prayer for my life. Christmas is a time of hope. And I pray that hope for you. So next time you look at your manger scene at home, look at Joseph Maybe move him up a little bit from the back. Remember what kind of man he was. And the faith and the trust that our Heavenly Father put into Joseph to care for his one and only son. And pray to God that you might be able to please him in character, in compassion, and courage. Let's pray. Father in heaven, while we don't focus on Joseph a lot, Lord, at times during Christmas, he's very important to you. You put it all in his hands. You guided him, you strengthened him, you provided for him, and he came through. God, might we grow in character and compassion and courage as your servant Joseph has modeled for all of us. In your name we pray. Amen.